showtime.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Pipes is writing down a lot of stuff. I'm just going to go from the gut. And joining us now, Coach Bielma.
Josh Whitman joining us now.
You get to say all the cool name drops.
Do it.
Brad Underwood, our guest.
College hoops.
How do you lose to Jackson State?
Call up every single person in the media that didn't put Kofi first team All-American. And I don't know, just play like clown noises.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
Michael Porter Jr. has been good, but he thinks the earth is flat, so I can't pick him.
Oh, boy.
Throw it up to Kofi, and he's just going to tear the rim off.
How is he so good?
All right, Hans, I'm going to mute you for a while.
Okay.
Oh, there's a timeout on the court!
So what we want to do is build a same-game parlay that will win all of us some money.
Maybe Rondale Moore could be Cooper Kupp, but he's not. Is it Instagram?
Yeah.
Is that what IG means?
I think you have to win the Big Ten title to win Big Ten Player of the Year.
Woohoo!
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
Baylor transfer Matthew Meyer has committed to Illinois.
What?
Per his Instagram page.
Are you... Oh, yeah! Everything is cool when you're part of the team. Hans, never mind tipping it to you, buddy. Can you hit the drink button again? Well, then quit saying it, Trevor. It is the drive with Sam Piper. Lance, Trevor Valise is right here. Why'd they put him ahead of Derek Piper? Piper, you've been demoted.
Like Paul DeJong demoted?
Oh, you're trying to get me back on the
I was just going to say this is the perfect time for the Cardinals rant because we wanted to get you riled up.
That's
and
true.
I think this last commercial break, we didn't do it.
No.
But you got there. You got to that level. Now I think it's time to just let it go.
I did.
Oh, you're about to go blasphemous.
That is blasphemous. How dare you say such a thing? That is insanity.
I don't know what we're yelling about.
All right. I've got – this happens every year, by the way, when the Cardinals baseball season is on. It happens every year. Rich Herron, a good friend of mine, and bless his heart, former SIU basketball coach, used to always tell me, Lon, you don't want to get too high, you don't want to get too low, gang. And he's so right, because a baseball season is 162 games. There's going to be peaks and valleys, and you're going to be elated, and you're going to think that Nolan Gorman is the second coming of Babe Ruth, and you're going to think that all of a sudden your team is never going to win another game for another 100 games. And you're like, what? But here's what's really bothering me about the St. Louis Cardinals is that John Mozeliak, and if he's listening, which he's not, if he were listening, I would preface this by saying, John, I have had your back this entire time,
yeah.
And I truly have. This guy has never guided a team that finished below 500 in with the Cardinals, right? And I think that's superb. We just talked with Kevin Wheeler the other day about the idea that the Cardinals have not had a losing season since 2007, and the last time they lost 90 games was 1990. That's amazing. So John Mozeliak has done a really good job with this squad, but you know what? It's been a long time since the Cardinals have done any damage in the postseason. And I look at this staff of pitching, and I think to myself, this is the way I sent it to my buddy today. I said, the idea that John Mozeliak went into this season thinking that no starter would get injured would be like me saying, hey, guys, I'm not going to drink a beer this summer. Well, you know damn well I'm going to drink a beer this summer. You know what? There's going to be a Cardinals pitcher get hurt. And guess what's happened? That's exactly what's happened. So now, in the last 3 days, I've seen the Cardinals start Packy Naughton from the Peaky Blinders is our starting pitcher. And then what? Who was today? No, today was Michaelis. Tomorrow is, oh, man. Now, this is hurting my rant because I was all about this stuff. Tomorrow's like another reliever coming in to start this a game for the St. Louis Cardinals. And I sit there and I think, okay, payroll from last year is down. It's actually down this year for the St. Louis Cardinals. Why? I don't get it. I don't understand it. Yes.
Andre Pallante.
That's it. And Pallante, for the most part, has been really good, right? Packy Naughton had a decent start the last time. He didn't this, I mean, 2 times ago. The point is, why do we not have another starter to go out there? This is the same thing happened to the Cardinals last year, and luckily they were able to go out and identify a couple of guys that came in, veterans, that helped them out. I'm to the point now where I no longer have John Mozeliak's back. And it's not just because of the pitching staff. It's all because of Jeff Albert. Essentially, you had Mike Schilt, who was one of the best managers in baseball, what, a couple years earlier, right? Wasn't he up for manager of the year, or did he – he wasn't named. Yeah, he was.
He won it one
That's
year,
right.
Yeah.
He won it. And then all of a sudden, Mike Schilt goes to the front office and says, Jeff Albert's not getting it done. And a perfect example of that is the one guy that backed Jeff Albert more than anybody on this team was Paul DeJong, who's now playing in, like, Scranton. I don't think he's playing in Scranton, but you get the point. He's playing tonight, by the way, in a doubleheader in Philo at the Big Diamond. I mean, that's how bad it's been, because he decided, well, I'm going to back Jeff Albert. Well, now you can't even hit. And yet, John Mozeliak looked at Mike Schilt and said, how do you have the audacity to question me and my hitting coach? The hitting coach means more than the manager for the St. Louis Cardinals. John Mozeliak made that point very obvious. And that's ticked me off. So now, out goes Schilt. Here comes Ollie Marmol. Oh, well, here we go. We got a guy that's going to lead us to a division title. Cardinals are only a half game out, or actually technically one, until the Brewers lose, hopefully, tonight.
They're down 8-3.
There you go. So we're a half game out, essentially. So it's not like Marmol's doing a horrible job, but neither did Schilt. But because they needed Jeff Albert to be the hitting coach, then you're gone, and here comes Ollie Marmol. Well, now I'm seeing the same crap that I've seen the last couple of years. This is a team that might make the playoffs. Do you really think they're going to do any damage in the playoffs? Now, is that fair? Because the Dodgers have a payroll of $310 million and the Cardinals have a payroll of $130 million? I don't know. It's just so frustrating to me what's going on right now, and I truly believe that this is it. This is the end of the road. If the Cardinals don't do something, then this is the end of the road for John Mozeliak. And I sure as hell hope it's the end of the road for Jeff Albert. That's it.
Boom.
Was that okay?
I like it. It's frustrating. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the night, we'll probably still only be a half game back.
Right.
And then there will be some point.
We'll sweep the Reds. We'll be two games ahead. But, and next week, I'll be like, this is the best team ever.
Yeah. But see, that's what it is, because the Cardinals have – look, the Padres series was really the first time where – you convincingly won a series. You swept the series against a very good team.
Great call.
We faced the Mets and they dominated us, or you faced the Giants and you won the first two, but then they lost the latter two. Today was another example, too, when you face McClanahan, who's a really good lefty, whose ERA is below two. When the Cardinals that seemingly have faced the better pitchers in baseball,
can't beat them.
The lineup goes completely silent.
And you know the other part of that rant that I didn't get to? Are we in on Nolan Gorman or are we not? So are we just to the point where it's like, well, Nolan's up, but we're not going to play him against left-handers? Well, why? I don't get that. I don't understand it. Is he good or not? I mean, and if he's not ready, then send him back down. He pinch hit today and struck out in a huge spot. Down one in the ninth, nobody out, guy on first base, maybe one out, doesn't matter. The point is he strikes out. That's not good. And I'm not basing everything on Nolan Gorman because of today, but the point is he never even starts now against left-handed hitters or left-handed pitchers. So why is he up? He's obviously not ready in your mind if you're the Cardinals, if you're Ollie Marmol, or if you're John Mozeliak, or if you're Michael Gersh. And who is Michael Gersh?
No idea.
I mean, he is the GM of the Cardinals, but every time you see him, he's literally standing right behind John Mozeliak, who's the president of baseball operations. And I feel as though Michael Gersh should be the guy that they talk to more often, but do you ever hear from Michael Gersh? No. And the weird part is he was asked to audition. He was asked to go and interview for the New York Mets GM job. He declined. Who would do that? I just don't get it. I don't get it. I mean, and I don't mean that, look, being the GM of the St. Louis Cardinals, honestly, in my mind, would be better off than being the GM of the Mets. The point is, wouldn't you at least listen? Because you're not, you're just a puppet for John Mozeliak with the Cardinals. So, I don't know.
Here's one note on the Gorman front.
Yes.
the option in sitting Gorman against the lefty is then to play Sosa at short, play Edmund at second.
Mm-hmm.
Edmundo Sosa's hitting 200 on the season, and I just looked it up. He's hitting 125 against lefties.
Oh.
So you're really getting an advantage by throwing Sosa in the lineup to not play Gorman, a guy that's supposed to be your future wherever he's going to play. Now it looks like second base.
Yeah.
If he's – is he going to hit lefties if you say, hey, you're never going to hit against lefties?
Right. That's exactly right. So if you're now relying on a guy to be, you know, not only a part-time second baseman, but, oh, man, he's a weapon off the bench from that left side. Well, what if you've eaten your right side DH, and now you're in the 12th inning of a game in Game 7 against the Dodgers in the NLCS, and they bring in a lefty, and you look down the bench, and you're like, well, I would bat Nolan Gorman, but we never did bat him against a lefty, so that wouldn't be fair to the kid. I mean, what are we doing?
Yeah.
I don't get it. It frustrates me. And again, next week after the Cardinals win 5 of the next 7, I will be the happiest guy in the world. I'll be bragging about Nolan Gorman. I'll be bragging about Ollie Marmol. I mean, this is what we do as baseball fans. But it's just gotten to the point where every time now there's frustration. Every time I get frustrated at the Cardinals, I sit there and think to myself, so why did we get rid of Mike Shildt and bring in Ollie Marmol? And it's really not Ollie Marmol's fault. But I'm like, what was the point of that? What did we accomplish by doing that? I don't know.
You had a good iPad toss in Chicago.
That was solid. And I do like Ollie Marmol. Like, I like the way he kind of goes at things, but I just want to know, and I don't know this for a fact, I just want to know that the manager is calling the shots on the field and not the front office. And again, maybe he is. Maybe Mike Shildt was. I know Tony La Russa was. And by the way, Tony La Russa had an interesting thing happen today. To close this segment out and then come back and hear from Josh Whitman, Trevor, I need your help on this. Tony La Russa did something. Okay, nobody in the history of baseball has ever played mind games, in my era at least, better than Tony La Russa. Tony La Russa is the guy that understands that, you know, Barry Bonds got sick one time at a Waffle House. And so he would probably send him a gift certificate to the Waffle House when he got into St. Louis saying, hey, Barry, you know, go have breakfast on the Cardinals. I mean, this is what Tony La Russa is all about. Today, Trevor Valise, Tony La Russa did something that we're still shaking our head at. And I need you to expand on it. Expand or expound? Why am I just
either
all
one.
Over the board with bad
That's actually
language?
One of those things where I think both words
you could do work?
Mean
okay.
the same thing, which is a little
it's
confusing.
Strange. I know it's me.
Trey Turner, who's been very hot to start this season for the Dodgers, probably one of their best players on the team that's probably the second or third best team in baseball, was up to the plate. There was one runner on, but he stole second.
Ah, so they walked him. They just walked him.
Well, yes, because first base was open, but you're missing the context that...
No, I'm leading you into it.
Yeah, it was 1-2 in the count when they decided to intentionally walk him.
So, one ball, two strikes.
There's a guy on first. He swipes second. Now first base is open, and you're thinking maybe you don't want this hot hitter with a guy in scoring position. The problem is you realize that after you've thrown two consecutive strikes to the guy and he's down 1-2 in the count. The major league average this season on 1-2 counts is somewhere in the low 190s.
Oh.
And so they walk him.
The genius.
Someone did tweet, it's the third ever intentional walk on a 1-2 count. Now, I don't know if that's true. It seems like there'd be more than that. Maybe I'm missing maybe that's the modern era.
The other two were the Dodgers manager because they had a no-hitter going. I'm kidding. That was a joke. Dave Roberts, right?
I got that.
Okay.
Anyways, they walk him on a 1-2 count, and then Max Muncy comes to the plate. Of course, there's always the narrative that the guy behind the guy intentionally walked is feeling slighted. He hits a 3-run home run to bust the game wide open. And the lip readers found that Muncy had some choice words for La Russa.
I can't wait to see
this. As he rounded third base and pointed towards Tony and basically told him what he thought of him.
Wow.
So, and I guess the White Sox broadcast was trying to make sense of what happened, and they just couldn't.
And you said they were quiet for like 96 seconds.
Yeah.
Wow. I've got to see this. I mean, that is Tony La Russa to a T.
Jeremy Werner, White Sox fan.
Oh,
he's a pretty reserved guy when it comes to like calling for someone's head. Like I don't think I've ever heard him say, you know, this guy shouldn't be able to get on the bus or something. He tweeted that La Russa should not be allowed to leave.
That's
after
fair.
This game.
That's fair. I don't, that thing started out so bad with Tony La Russa in Chicago, And it just really hasn't gotten much better. I mean, they were good last year. Don't get me wrong. But I don't know. And again, like I told you, Derek, I'm like, okay, Tony, why aren't you just down in Florida at your beach house? Just enjoy your life.
Exactly.
Your 80s, I don't know.
What was he even doing in Arizona? Like when he was involved in the front office? Unless he's going to be in the jacuzzi in right center every night. Like, then I get it.
That would be awesome. Well, I don't know if it'd be awesome, but you know what I mean. I don't get it. I don't know. I told you I must have the worst work ethic in the world because as soon as I'm able to move to a beach, I'm out. And I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to. The point is, if that ever happens, I'm out of here. You're not going to see me hanging around consulting for the drive with Tay and Piper. Like me sitting on that couch over there at the age of 78 when Hans D and you guys are running the show and I'm every commercial saying, well, here's what I would have done better. I mean, no, I'm out of here. I don't understand. All right, I'm actually in a good mood. I just had to get that off my chest. I feel better.
That was great.
I feel better now. All right, you had a chance to sit down with Josh Whitman. You and Joey Wagner had a chance to visit with him, and I think there was a Rockford
TV crew and Decatur Herald and Review were there as well.
Sweet.
But this interview was Inquirer and Decatur Herald and Review.
Awesome. We're going to hear from Josh Whitman, your athletic director, next. It is The Drive.
PDR Automotive in Urbana has been providing quality auto repair service for almost 50 years. Trusted by AAA Motor Club, PDR employs ASE-certified technicians that use the latest in diagnostic equipment. They offer nationwide warranties and are even authorized to perform vehicle maintenance that won't void your factory warranty. Check them out 24/7 online at PDRauto.com. When you turn the key and the car won't run, call 367-9481. They are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR.
Racing, racing, racing! Farmer City Racing has a full show of late models, modifieds, and street stocks battling it out for the big prize money on Dirt Car Racing's track of the year. Sponsors like Alani Overhead Door help make your Friday Night Lights racing experience terrific. Get pit passes now with discounts for veterans and young fans under 12. Visit FarmerCityRacing.com. You'll buy the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge.
Carpet Weavers is flooring their customers. They work with the biggest brands to bring you the best selections and prices on hardwood, luxury tile, carpet, and more. Stop in at 616 West Market View Drive in Champaign and let one of their sales associates help you find the perfect flooring for your lifestyle. Their 100% satisfaction guarantee allows you to be confident in your purchase. Carpet Weavers has been flooring people with beautiful carpet and flooring since 1988. In fact, they're nationally ranked as one of the top 25 specialty flooring stores in the country. Find out more online at carpetweaversflooring.com.
Carl works every day to improve the health of community members across the region, and it would not be possible without team members like Sierra Poole, phlebotomy lab lead at Carl Foundation Hospital.
I get excited to come to work every day because it allows me to improve my skill every day, becoming better at the job so we can give better patient care to the patients that come in to get their blood drawn.
If you're looking for an opportunity to serve your community like Sierra, visit carl.org/careers.
Pia's opens every morning daily at 7 a.m. You will find it all at Pia's with live video gaming, sports, food, drinks, and fun. See you at Pia's, West Springfield Avenue in Champaign. Serving food 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. and drinks until 2 a.m. daily. Pia serves up its famous 10-ounce Slugger Burger along with great wings and so much more. You will find it all at Pia's with live video gaming, sports, food, drinks, and fun. See you at Pia's, West Springfield Avenue in Champaign.
Hi, we're your Prairie Gardens plant experts. You know, I think one of the things that people forget to think about in the summertime, the heat of the summer, is watering.
Also on our annual plants, in our containers and hanging baskets, water is super important, and we should check that in the morning especially. That way they can go into the day being hydrated.
And not just the annuals we planted this spring, but any of those trees and shrubs that we've just planted, they can just go wilty.
Come to Prairie Gardens, Springfield and Duncan, Champaign.
Hey, where are you headed?
To Kelsey Furniture in Tuscola.
What do they have there?
What don't they have there? Living room furniture, benches, chests, love seats, sectionals, tables, bedroom sets, hutches, nightstands, end tables, cabinets, mirrors, stools, clocks, lamps, pillows, rugs, desks, media consoles, patio furniture, Tempur-Pedic mattresses, and more.
So, everything.
Yeah, probably could have just said that.
Kelsey Furniture, quality for less. Congratulations to Sarah Champagne. Sarah Honda has won the President's Award. This is an award recognizing the best Honda dealerships in America. Sarah Honda has achieved excellence in sales, service, and customer satisfaction. When you go into Sarah Champagne, you'll see what winning the Honda President's Award means with their outstanding focus on you. Visit Sarah Champagne and experience excellence with not only Honda, but GMC, Buick, BMW, and Subaru. Sarah Champagne, off Neil at Burwash in Savoy.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Lante and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6, right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Fired up again.
Should I hit the lights up on that one?
What else do you want to talk about?
I think that's it today. Like, I've had a pretty good day, but... all right, it's The Drive with Tay and Piper. I'm Lante. He is Derek Piper. Trevor Valise here as well. How fun is it to visit with Josh Whitman? He is a super nice guy.
He really is.
And he's one of those guys that takes his job so serious. And I just have always been impressed every time that we get a chance. I know he came out to Pia's last year. I always get impressed. I'm always impressed, in other words, when we're done. He's so measured, but yet I don't think he's measured to the point where it's like a robot talking. I feel as though, now, are there things that maybe he could, you know, like, come on, give us a little bit more.
Yep.
But I feel like Josh does a really good job of trying to, you know, basically talk to us and explain to us exactly what's going on inside this athletic program. And so I always enjoy visiting with Josh, and I'm sure you had the same thing the other day.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, super nice.
Yes.
And like you said, very – he is level-headed, and I think sometimes when he needs to be, he's guarded and careful about he answers things. But it's to be expected. But you can also tell how passionate he is about this place and – I mean, it's impressive just – I mean, he's a very impressive guy with how intelligent he is, but how much he has to know and how involved he is in all these different projects, all these different programs. And there's nothing you can ask him that is going to catch him off guard or that he's not
– He's smarter than us.
Yeah, right. He definitely is. But, yeah, always like talking to Josh, and he's always very good to us.
Well, here he was with Derek Piper a couple nights ago in Rockford. Here's Josh Whitman.
Extension, you never say no. So, you know, I just incredibly grateful to the university for their support. I think it's really an endorsement of our entire organization, all the people we have doing the work that they do. I think it signals stability to our program, but certainly to our fans and to our community. And it's just a great chance for us to continue the work that we've started. And really grateful to have a chance to do it with people I care a lot about, people I think are exceptional in their respective areas, and just excited about the future and looking forward to the chance to keep doing it.
When you think back to that opening presser with Brad way back when, and now you kind of see where this has gone, and even a reset, like with guys, what stands out about how he was able to kind of navigate a lot of water, really, to get to where he's at now, and obviously more?
Yeah, I think Brad has a really unique blend of patience and impatience, and I mean that in the most positive way. I think that in these big moments, during whether it's player turnover, staff turnover, Brad's very thoughtful. He has a very strong sense of identity. He understands who he is, who the program represents, and he takes his time to identify who are the best fits to come be a part of our family. And I give him all the credit in the world. On the other hand, he has incredible competitive impatience, which obviously is important in a position like that one. And so I'm appreciative of the way that he understands kind of which moment is required depending on the circumstance in front of him. And I just give him all the credit because he's gone through a lot during his tenure here and has been resilient, gritty, always never lost his identity and his vision, and never allowed the circumstances around him to pull him from his direction. And that's something that I think would have been easy to do at different junctures, and he's just stayed steady in his approach. And I think that's very symbolic of who he is as a person. He's a tough, gritty, hard-working guy that gets things done, and now obviously we're seeing the results.
You've been really proactive and rewarding Brad with extensions, staff with extensions this offseason. What's that approach been like for you, and how have you just kind of gone about that to make sure those guys are happy and getting what you think they deserve?
I think it's important to us to always be proactive in all of our coaching contracts, and that's not unique just to Brad or the basketball assistants. We tried to take that same approach with all of our staff, and I'm somebody in this role, I don't ever want to put our coaches in a position to have to come ask for an extension. You know, I'm going to take some pride in having a group of people who is continually observing, evaluating. We know what their contractual situations are. We know when we think the right moments are strategically to try and put them in a different situation. And basketball is no different. And I think that the strategic discussion is a little bit different in basketball because of some of the external pressures and because of some of the expectations, the marketplace. And so each coach's environment is different. Brad's in men's basketball has suggested that we want to be a little more aggressive and a little more on top of things. And that's important to me because, one, we need stability. Two, I think it's really important that Brad knows this is a place that cares about him, that wants him to be here for the long term. And he and I have had a great partnership, a great friendship for a lot of years, and we want that to be able to continue for years to come.
When you kind of have an extension, when you reach out to a coach, what's that conversation kind of like, and what do you kind of, I guess you don't really know yet, they care, what kind of else do you have besides?
Everything differs depending on the coach, the situation. Usually it's a series of conversations. The first one's usually pretty preliminary, and they just acknowledge that you'd like to do something with the contract, which usually is something we're excited about. And then you kind of take some time to start working through what some of those details might be. And some of them are very straightforward, and sometimes they can get a little more complicated. It defeats the purpose if the entire effort is to try and create positive goodwill and a productive gesture, and if the negotiation itself gets so contentious that it turns into a negative. And so that's never the point. I kind of try and set that expectation at the beginning with the coaches is, look, we want to do this, but understand our whole point here is to make you feel good, to make us feel good. Done a lot of negotiations over the years, and I think that's always an important element is trying to set some expectations, some ground rules for how you want that interaction to occur over the course of that negotiation, which could take 5 minutes or could take 5 months.
It seems like you have a lot of coaches who are pretty proactive in going with the changes that are happening in college. How do you navigate that as you work through it yourself, but also making sure you guys are all kind of swimming in the same direction?
We just try and communicate. You know, we have a lot of opportunities with our coaches to share information. We try not to just focus on the here and now and the operational issues that are happening in our program, but I do encourage them to kind of lift their head up and look at the world around us and see some of these changes that are happening, whether it's the Alston payments or name, image, likeness, or some of the transformation work that's being done at the NCAA. And then I always encourage our folks to think about these things as an opportunity. These are not a challenge. They're a moment. They're an opportunity for us to try and position ourselves more favorably than before these changes occurred. And we've got a lot of really creative, thoughtful, competitive people on our staff. And so if you give them those orders, and obviously underneath all of that is an expectation of integrity and doing things the right way, which we reinforce all the time, then
it doesn't take long for them to start coming back with some really interesting ideas, concepts. What if we did this? What about that? And so it makes for a really fun, collaborative environment.
Particularly in basketball, it seems like NIL is very involved in conversations and decisions for transfers, NBA, that whole kind of deal. How do you feel about your program in terms of how they fare? Because it seems like you guys have been very competitive in that arena.
Yeah, I think that, you know, our focus, as it needs to be, based on the NCAA's guidelines, is trying to build the strongest, most robust NIL program for our current student-athletes as we can. And our recruiting pitch then isn't, hey, if you come here, we will give you X, because that's not allowed. But we can talk to a recruit and say, here are exhibits A, B, and C of student-athletes who have come here and had incredible success in every element of their experience now, including name, image, likeness. And if you were to be a student athlete like that person, then you can reasonably expect to have a similar experience. And so that's been a focal point for us, and I think in basketball in particular, just given the relatively small size of the roster, the visibility that those student athletes have, it's put us in a position to be as active as we can be in helping to make sure that that those professional opportunities are available for our student athletes. Because at the end of the day, not to, you know, name, image, likeness, what we've chosen to see it as is it's professional development for our student athletes. It's in the past when we would go out and try and solicit summer internships or job opportunities, that's what name, image, likeness is. It's a job for our student athletes. It's a chance for them to make money doing something other than playing their sport from the University of Illinois. And so if we can help create those opportunities for our student athletes, just like we did when we were trying to get them internships at a bank or externships with a media company, that's a great role that we can play.
What have you noticed about the alumni base's involvement or hunger to be involved in that end?
I can't go out 5 minutes without having 10 questions about it. I mean, everybody wants to talk about it. It's obviously one of the most transformational changes to come to college sports in a long time. I think people are starting to understand it better. We're nearing the one-year anniversary of NIL now, and so I think people are still starting to gain a greater and greater understanding of what it is and how it can be utilized to help a program. And so that I think that people, as they gain understanding and fluency, are even more interested in becoming engaged with us. And so that's been fun to watch, and certainly part of our effort over these first 12 months has been to try and serve as that educational conduit to our fans to give them that base of knowledge so that they can become more informed participants in the space.
I guess about those kind of three assistants, what do they kind of say about them for the team to accomplish what they did in the three of those first year?
I thought it was incredible. Again, I give Coach Underwood all the credit for him to be able to go out and identify those three guys, for them to come together and work so well together, I think has really been a testament to them. Basketball is a hard sport, and you can sometimes have some different egos in play, and for them to not really have a pre-existing relationship, but to come in and coexist, and not just coexist, but really complement each other the way they have, is a testament to them as professionals. It's a testament to Coach and the leadership that he provides. But I'm just excited. You know, they have, I think, exceeded everybody's expectations in terms of the work they've done on the court, obviously on the recruiting trail, and just excited about their continued engagement with us.
That is Josh Whitman, athletic director at Illinois. It's funny what he said. You guys are probably like, oh, sorry I asked. He's like, well, I don't go out in public without getting 10 questions about the NIL. There's so much still that is, it's just an interesting topic. And there's still so much that I feel like we don't know about it, even though I feel like we do. Does that make sense?
It does. I feel like we know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's still some uncertainty of, like, is that allowed or not? Or is that going to be something, because the state passes the law of saying schools can facilitate things, but even by the letter of the law, still by the NCAA, I don't think that that's the case. So what is the actual way about this? But I think that, to my question about to him about NIL and saying when he goes about the getting questions about, from yes. people and everything. I think that was playing to the fact of people are interested. Like, Illini alumni want to get involved. They yes. want to see how they can help, see how they can contribute to current players making mm-hmm. money and being able to have some extra, you know, change in their pocket. It's not change if you're talking about like Kofi Coburn or some of the higher end of that, but also, let's be honest, it's very prevalent in conversations of getting transfers,
yep.
talking to recruits about what other players have earned or what the opportunities would potentially look like. So it's a chance to support your program and really have a direct hand in helping them get the type of players that win you the games that fans are excited about.
Well, and for me, it's like, okay, I get it that Matthew Meyer probably made a lot of money on NIL. He's probably going to make a lot of money. And, you know, who knows? These football recruits coming in right now, the big-time recruits, they're going to make some money. What about the backup cornerback? Does he make anything? And so you sit there and I think to myself, okay, is there like a, you know, like a stair step? We just had literally oh, wow. just had a picture fall behind me. Is there a stair step approach to this to where it's like, okay, well, you started six games, so you're going to, you know, that's the thing that gets me is that how do you figure all of that out? And I guess those are the guys, I guess, if they're not doing that, maybe they're fine with it, maybe. They understand that they're not as valuable and they shouldn't be making money, or they're the ones that are hitting the transfer portal saying, well, if I'm not getting love here, maybe if I go to another school, then for them to get me, at least they'll throw me a little something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that's weird.
Yeah, because you're going to have some guys on the team. If you think basketball specific, you might have a guy or two guys, and that's not just unique to Illinois. I'm talking right. about other programs that are considered, you know, top 25 type of programs, especially that have the NIL backing that Illinois does. And there's a number of others out there that some might make six figures, some might make nothing. Some
right.
might make a couple hundred bucks.
Crazy.
And some might just be, you know, I'm on scholarship. right. That's a nice new car, man. Can I have a ride to practice type deal? And you wonder about, I know that people have always talked about with this being implemented is the jealousy amongst teammates and just the way that ultimately works. Or we've discussed with the Nigel Pack situation going to Miami, like,
yeah.
all right, that team went to the Elite Eight. And then Nigel Pack was on Kansas State and comes in, and it's very public that he's getting – ultimately, it's going to be, what is it, $600,000 over 2 years
wow.
or whatever that ultimately is.
Wow.
And you might be like, I didn't make anything, or I made $1,000 and I was a part of a team that actually got to the Elite Eight.
Right.
And he hasn't even played a game in our jersey yet.
Unbelievable. And I have a new appreciation now because my son just graduated college, and guess what? It's expensive.
Yeah.
And I have a new appreciation for somebody getting their college paid for. I mean, I always knew I got it, but I even have more of an appreciation for that now. I mean, that's not chopped liver. So I don't know. It's just an interesting thing. Trevor, do you think on our camera that you can see the picture fall?
Wow.
Okay. How much glass is down there?
There's a lot of glass.
Okay, it's not as bad as I thought. Like, some of the pieces are still big.
They're big chunks.
Okay.
of glass. There's a decent amount of glass. Our walls are now bare again. There was one thing hanging up, and now
where was it hanging?
It was.
Oh, right there.
Right.
Okay.
Over your left shoulder.
Everybody's okay, and we'll touch base when we come back to make sure that nobody got cut in taking glass out of the studio. Okay, that's interesting. I think I'm getting old because I hardly even. I think I reacted to you reacting to that more than I reacted to that falling. We're back. It's The Drive. Oh, boy.
Kelsey Furniture in Tuscola is your local furniture expert. They've been in business over 50 years, and their sales team has over 150 years of experience. They carry everything you need to furnish your whole house with top name brands such as Broyhill, Lane, Ashley, Smith Brothers, Bemco Mattresses, and Mohawk Carpeting. Their showroom is huge with over 30,000 square feet of furniture. Stop by Kelsey Furniture in downtown Tuscola today or visit kelseyfurniture.com, K-E-L-S-E-Y, Kelsey Furniture, or like them on Facebook. Kelsey Furniture, quality for less.
Illini fans, take the opportunity to head down to Game Day Spirits Green Street location this summer and shop their awesome selection of Fighting Illini merchandise. While you're there, shop some of the awesome buy one, get one free t-shirt designs, as well as their Nike section and so much more. Take advantage of their 13 Thursday deals, 20% off select sweatshirts, and or buy one, get one 50% off hats every Thursday this summer. Shop with them at the corner of 6th and Green, Campus Town, Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
Horizon Hobbies RC Fest is coming to Monticello, Eli Field, June 10th and 11th. $5 to park gets you discounts and the product tents. With so many great shows with radio control vehicles and planes, you'll love the fireworks Saturday the 11th. It's the largest gathering of radio control cars, trucks, airplanes, helicopters, and drones in the Midwest. Thrilling competitions, vendors, exhibits, food trucks, and air shows make the action at RC Fest nonstop. It's 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., so enjoy the fun for the whole family. Get more details at horizonhobby.com.
This is Gina from ABC Heating and Air Conditioning. If you're looking for a top-of-the-line air conditioner, think Amana. We carry all sizes and offer expert installation. ABC Heating and Air Conditioning is locally owned, and we've been in business for 50 years, and for 50 years, the only brand we've sold is Amana. So go with a company that is local, dependable, and will be there for you no matter what time of day or night. ABC, always be comfortable. Let us install your new Amana air conditioner. Visit www.abcheatingandac.com.
Here's what happened in Richard Irvin's Aurora in the summer of 2020.
Police say three of their vehicles were set on fire and destroyed. Shots were fired at police twice. People hurled bricks, glass, and rocks at officers. Police blame protesters for at least two fires in the city.
This is what Richard Irvin later said about the rioting and looting and violence in his town.
You know, my downtown just on fire, people running around destroying things. You know, I was conflicted. In one sense, I'm the mayor, and I'm saying this can't happen in my city. On the other hand, I recognize that unless there's some type of disruption in what we want here in our country, things won't change.
Richard Irvin calls violence and looting a legitimate disruption. This is what happens when you put someone who calls himself a strong and passionate supporter of Black Lives Matter in charge. Don't let Richard Irvin let Illinois burn like he did Aurora. Join Illinois conservatives in voting no to violence and lawlessness by voting no on Richard Irvin. Paid for by people who play by the rules pack.
Hi, y'all. Welcome back to Trucker Lives Matter, presented by Gail Fredericks Trucking. Today, we have a special guest, Donna, the operations manager at GFT. Hi, Donna.
Hi, Dixie. Thank you for having me.
Tell me, Donna, what's so special about driving for GFT?
First and foremost, our drivers truly matter. They get top pay plus opportunities for monthly bonuses, every weekend at home, paid holidays and vacations, and they are pre-dispatched so they aren't wasting time waiting on us.
Oh, girl, I love money. Tell me more about the pay.
We pay on percentage, so our rate increases have meant our driver pay has actually exceeded inflation. Our van drivers have averaged 78 cents per mile this year, and our flatbedders have seen 82 to 85 cents per mile on average.
Donna, tell our trucking audience how they can get on with GFT.
Our openings are limited, but professional drivers can call 765-793-7131 or email dixie@gftlog.com.
There you have it, drivers. Call 765-793-7131 today.
If you're involved with IT and are looking for a change, look no further. Join the team at AreaWide. They've been in business for 23 years and they make their employees their top priority. And they offer a benefit package second to none. 100% health insurance for employees from Health Alliance. 100% vision. 100% dental. A 401k plan. Company vehicles. Monthly gas cards. Paid vacation and sick leave, $100,000 life insurance for employees, a $500 vacation bonus. You can buy computer components and software at cost for personal use. You get your birthday off. You get birthday treats and an anniversary gift. Say what? A benefit package second to none from AreaWide. Are you kidding me? Apply today at info@areawidetech.com. That's info@areawidetech.com.
Next week on an all-new Law and Order.
Order, order. We convene here for case 217, Spring Green versus Weeds. Spring Green, the floor is yours.
The weeds are infectious. The weeds steal the beauty from your lawn. We offer personalized lawn care, a mid-season checkup, and a simple and transparent process. Just click on to spring-green.com for a quote.
Okay, Spring Green wins. Weeds, you're out.
That's spring-green.com.
Get back to the things you need and love to do with physical therapy at Mettler Center. Two of the biggest barriers to starting therapy are getting a referral from your doctor and insurance coverage. But good news, Illinois is a direct access state, so you can start therapy without a doctor's referral. In addition, at Mettler, we accept all major insurances, Health Alliance, Blue Cross Blue Shield, United Healthcare, HealthLink, Medicare, and most recently, Aetna and Cigna. We invite you to schedule a complimentary 30-minute consultation today. Visit us at MettlerCenter.com.
You know Pards in Urbana carries the best men's and women's quality clothes, great leather products, and the absolute best boots you can buy.
I forgot how much fun it is to shop there and how many boots they have.
Listen to what some people say about their most recent visit to Pards.
The employees are always super nice, caring, and honest. They also try to ensure you have a good time there by checking on you and giving you advice about their items. I love Pards.
Pars, locally owned on Maple between Main and University in Urbana.
Illini fans, stock up on great Illini gear this summer at the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, Game Day Spirit. Their famous buy one, get one free t-shirt section is perfect for summer and has some great new designs. Shop their line of polos and other business casual apparel from great brands like Nike, Cutter & Buck, Tommy Bahama, and more. Refresh your wardrobe this summer at Game Day Spirit, located at the corner of Neal and Kirby in Champaign, 6th and Green in Campus Town, and online 24/7 at GameDaySpirit.com.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Greenberg. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
We are running the vacuum. There it is. I wonder, Derek, like you said, is that was that our one warning only, to get out of the building? Get out.
Could be.
We'll go back and listen to the podcast in slow motion. It'll be, you just hear this, get out. Like, oh!
I want to watch the video.
I do too. Trevor, are you getting that up for us? All right, that would be, yeah, that'll be fun to watch. So, all right, it's The Drive with Tay and Piper, Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise. In case you just joined us, a picture fell behind us and broke.
It's kind of like that who's the emergency catcher type deal. who's the vacuum guy?
Well, Trevor said it best. Trevor, I've got you on, by the way. Like, Derek jumped right into new father cleanup duty. It was very impressive. Just boom, just like that.
I was closest to it. You had to watch your feet. You weren't really able in a position to move.
I was right in the middle of it.
Big chunks of glass.
Big, yeah. Are we throwing the picture away or just the frame, I guess? I guess we'll keep the picture. Might as well. Did it do any damage to the floor? This is new flooring in here. Wow. All right, so the Cardinals lose today to Tampa. They get swept. Now they play the Reds?
Yep.
So, what, 7 in a row, I believe, at home, 3 against the Reds. I mean, whatever. What's the phrase? Cure that ills you, ill that cures you, whatever it is. That's what's going to happen with the Cardinals soon. So
the Reds can cure all ills.
That's it. And the Brewers keep losing.
They've now lost, what, 5 or 6 in a row?
Yes. I think this would be the 6th. And yet the Cardinals are still a half game behind. So if you just win one against Tampa, you're in first place. But
it almost looks like a Buster Keaton prop fall.
Oh, you can see it.
No one touches it. I mean, it looks like a ghost. It just falls all out right of nowhere, and Lon whips his head back and throws his hands in the air.
It up. Turn it off.
This was the last ever show at SJ Broadcasting because the ghosts are telling us to get out. We do need to get out. How about that? All right, tomorrow is Friday. No Hans D. What are we going to do? Are we going to have a fun segment? Trevor, are you coming up with a fun segment or what?
Nope.
Come on. Do we need a new Hans?
Yep.
I don't know if anybody could replace Hans. Hans D.
Do we get Hans in like a hologram? You know, some kind of like everlasting form of him that's recorded from the past. So then even though he's gone, he's still here with us.
He's still here. I like that idea. How about a Hans picture right behind me? I bet that wouldn't fall. I bet that wouldn't fall at all. All right, thanks to, I know it was recorded, but thanks to Jeff Alexander, Josh Whitman. Great stuff, Derek, with those interviews with those two and also Chester Frazier. That's fun to kind of catch up with those guys in a non-basketball-related setting, if you will. Just more of a relaxed atmosphere and hear what they have to say. So, I mean, they're doing work. They're doing workouts all summer, right?
They are.
It never ends.
Starting next week is when summer classes, summer workouts officially start. So you have the team on campus. It'll be fun.
It's amazing. All right. Well, listen, everybody. You guys have a great night. Cardinals lost. They'll play the Reds tomorrow. Nobody cares about the Cubs. I'm kidding, Trevor. Do they play tonight?
I don't know.
No, he doesn't care either. So we're going to leave. We're out of here. I'm running out of this building. It is the drive. We're gone. Let me out. Let me out.